The grace of God in Christ Jesus, poured out in every gift of the Holy Spirit, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Jesus loves the little children.
A reading from Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from their own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, Here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 112 responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Well, we've already heard about salt from Vicar Joshua, and the children know about salt. Well, salt has been in the news lately. Just last week, there was a report about how much salt we should and should not put into our bodies. Seems like we're getting too much of that tasty stuff. for the good of our diets, the good of our bodies, we need to have some salt. But they tell us now that it is less than a teaspoon a day that we need. And if you consider all of the places where we get salt other than from our salt shaker on the table, that teaspoon is filled pretty quickly. Too much salt can cause lots of heart health problems, heart problems, hypertension, even some cancers are linked to salt, some stomach cancer, colon cancer, I guess. If you're trying to avoid salt, it is difficult. It can be very hard. Seems like there's salt or sodium in everything we eat. Cheese, butter, snacks, breakfast cereal, canned goods, processed foods, it goes on. But you know, salt isn't very expensive. I heard on public radio they were talking about the salt that they're using for roads to melt the ice. And it's $68 for a ton if you're going to, so if you want to get a cheap commodity, buy a ton of salt. They're using a lot of it in the Midwest these days. When I was growing up, we had a Culligan water softener, and every once in a while, somebody had to hoist that 40-pound bag up on the shoulder and dump it into the water softener, those big bags of salt that I don't even know if you can buy those anymore. I don't see them. Kenny, do people still have water softeners that you have to add the salt? I suppose you have the Culligan man just come and do it for you. In the old days, we did those things. We didn't have to go out and chip it out of the... But when Jesus was talking about salt, salt had a different image. In the first century in Palestine, salt was a rare commodity. It was hard to obtain, and it was a precious commodity. It was very expensive. In fact, we get the word salary from salt, same root word. So if you're worth your salt, if you earn a salary, that's where that image of salt being something very precious. And when Jesus called the disciples and the hearers in this scripture passage, it helps us if we understand salt with a first century understanding. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't say that we are to become the light of the world, to become the salt of the earth? He announces that that is what we are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He doesn't tell us how to gain those qualities. He only warns us not to be less than we are. We are light. We are salt. Jesus used an analogy that we could easily understand to let us know how extraordinary we are for the sake of God's kingdom. Jesus is teaching us to act for God in ways as important and as varied as the uses of salt in the world. Our being salt for the earth will help others learn to make life tasty and valuable and full of meaning. To keep life from being bland and unrewarding, we season it with our Christian commitment and our understanding that we are indeed the beloved children of God. Being salt adds flavor to life, wherever we are, however it can, whenever we can. It means having that addition of spirit of life and spirit of love. It means looking for meaning and for grace in all the people we encounter in all of our situations. Looking for meaning, looking for grace. In Jesus' day, salt was connected with purity. Because salt came from pure substance, from the sea and from the sun, it was seen as something pure in itself. Before an offering was presented in the temple, it was sprinkled with salt. It preserved the grain that was being offered. It preserved the grain from spoiling, and therefore was presenting a pure offering to the Lord. If we are salt of the earth, and Jesus says we are, we acknowledge the pureness of our speech, of our thoughts, of our behavior. Our very presence in the world witnesses to the good that is found in God and the values of the reign of God. In ancient times, salt was valued as a basic ingredient of a good life. And that's us. We are the basic ingredient in the world for a good world. We are, because Jesus tells us we are, the salt of the earth. And we can be that basic ingredient in the goodness of life for others. You know, salt is also used for healing. A newborn baby is washed in salt water. It was a symbol of preserving the child's life. Wounds are dressed with salt to prevent infection. Even today, saline solution is used in lots of different medical procedures, medical treatments. And as the salt of the earth, we can promote healing through our prayer, through our caring for others, supporting the least and the lost and the lonely, holding the hands of others in times of need. Salt makes us thirsty. All this talk about salt, I want to take a big drink of water right now. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. What's happening in your life that makes you thirsty for Jesus? I heard an interesting story on the radio last week. Seems that all this icy weather and the very cold temperatures everywhere else in the world, in the United States, has made this big call for ice for the sidewalks and for the roadways. And a couple of cities have come up with very inventive ways to apply the salt on the roads. One city, I think it's in Ohio, is spraying pickle juice. The brine, you know, the salty water, the brine from the pickle juice, spraying that on the roads and on the sidewalks before the snow, so that when the snow hits it starts to melt. That salt and the heat of the sun makes the snow melt. So they're applying it early. Another city is using pickled beet juice. And I think that would add some problems but they're trying to figure out a way to keep the salt sticking on the road. They also said that this place in Ohio had an increase in people going to the deli. I don't know about that. But Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. Salt is used to melt the snow and the ice. We can melt the iciness of life. Frozen relationships are melted by applying the warmth of Christian love. We can wear down the indifference, the lack of feeling that too often grabs us and holds us bound. We are the salt of the earth. Melt the cold heart. Warm the tempered spirit. In ancient times, and even today, salt is used as a preservative to prevent food from spoiling. Even though we can have fresh meat any time of the year, any day, We still like our smoked hams and the salty brine of pastrami and that salty jerky that will be eaten by tons today as people are watching the Super Bowl. If we are the salt of the earth, we can preserve God's goodness. We can help, we can prevent spoiling and corruption wherever we find it. We are the salt of the earth. We can prevent ourselves and others from going bad by being connected to Jesus. Where do you find salt? We taste it on our lips when we're sitting at the beach. We sprinkle it on our eggs and our French fries to bring out flavor. But in all the cases, in order for salt to be effective, it has to be released from the container. Jesus didn't say, you are a salt shaker. He didn't say, you are a big bag of salt. He said, you are the salt. And in order for the salt to work, it's got to come out of the shaker. God can release us from whatever holds us back from being the salt of the earth that Jesus knows we are. Jesus points at us and says, you are the salt of the earth. You make a difference in the world. You give hope where there is no hope. You forgive when people ask for forgiveness. You embrace where there is despair and loneliness. You bring tolerance where there is prejudice. You reconcile where there is conflict. You bring justice where there is wrong. You provide food where there is hunger. You give comfort where there's disease and distress. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus points at you today and says, you are the salt of the earth. In our baptism, we are empowered to heal, to purify, to nurture, to thaw the frozen, to preserve, to season the earth. And this is not a task that we do alone, but we do it because we are baptized. We do it because we know who and whose we are. We do it because we are the salt of the earth. We do not need to go on a salt-free diet when it comes to our spiritual life. We are salty Christians to bring out the flavor of all who need to know what Christian seasoning can provide. A few months ago, I was spending the afternoon with our confirmation candidates from St. Peter's and from Christ Lutheran over in Pacific Beach. And we were talking about how we live out our baptism. How being Lutheran, we put our hands to God's work in the world. How we can be the seasoning on the earth. How we can be what Jesus says we are. Well, we decided to take a little walk on the beach, and we were doing litter patrol as we walked down to the beach. Kids all had their gloves on, and we had bags, and we started our walk. And along the way, a gentleman passed, and he said to one of the kids, are you being punished, or are you getting paid for this? And this girl looked at him, and she said, we're Lutheran. This is what we do. Well, I told that story to our evangelism committee, and we realized that we do a lot of things because we're Lutheran, but we don't really think about it that we do it because we're Lutheran. What do? Because we're Lutheran, well, I serve on this committee, or I attend church on Sunday. But what else do we do? Because we are the salt of the earth. You notice that Jesus didn't say, become the salt of the earth. He said, you are. What are you doing? Where's the salt in your life? How are you salting the world? What are you doing in the name of Jesus? If you take your bulletin, would you please? And turn to the last page of your bulletin. The very last page of your bulletin. And you will see, now, not the inside, and you'll find a couple sticky notes. We want to lift up all of those salty things that you're doing. And we want to acknowledge what we're doing as St. Peter's. You know, you don't put on your St. Peter's t-shirt when you walk down the beach, but if you see and pick up litter. But if you were walking down the beach and you see a piece of litter, you do pick it up because you are the salt of the earth. I want you to write down two or three things on each, one sticky note for one thing you do. One thing that you do, maybe you serve on the PTA, maybe you pick up litter, maybe you pet dogs as you walk, maybe you treat people kindly in the line when you're waiting. You may not consider that regular phone call to your least favorite sister an act of saltiness, an act of charity, but it is. Maybe you don't consider pulling your neighbor's trash can back up to their garage door every week. Maybe you don't consider that your act of being baptized, your response to Jesus calling you the salt of the earth, but that is an act. What do you do? What are some of the things you do? We're going to post these. Don't put your name on it. Just write down a couple things that you do that brings the salt of the earth, that seasons the earth, that acknowledges God's grace at work in the world. During coffee hour, you'll be able to look at the display and see what all of the things that are happening just with this few folks that are happening in our world because you are the salt of the earth. We're Lutheran. That's what we do. Pass them to the middle. And Jeff, if you would pick them up, please, on that side.